Hey guys, Raf here from the Endgame Investor. I just had a great conversation with John Lee of Silver Elephant. It is a small silver miner with a mine that is on the verge of production in Bolivia. I just wanted to clarify that at the end of the interview, John Lee says something about currencies being a token distributed by the leader or the sovereign of a society, the king or what have you. I didn't mention this while I was talking with him because I wanted him to complete his point, but I just wanted to say that I respectfully disagree with John Lee about currency being a token. I believe that currency is really a derivative of an existing money, which is gold and silver and all that kings or sovereigns can do for their society or to their society is to issue derivatives of an existing money rather than issue tokens ex nihilo out of nothing. This is just an academic point. John Lee, I think, is very knowledgeable in his industry and he knows a lot about money and mining. I know less about mining, so he should fill you in on that data. Whether or not you're interested in his company, Silver Elephant, symbol ELEF in Toronto or SILEF on the over-the-counter in the US, the conversation is very interesting in either way. And I hope you enjoy this interview with John Lee. Money printing is stealing. And so when Democrats steal money, they only like to give it to people who are very close to them ideologically. And
Exactly.
like let's say like an 80 to 90 level of insanity on a level on on a scale of 1 to 100. Whereas when Republicans steal money and print, they distribute it a little bit more evenly to people who are between 30 and 100 insanity. And while the rest of us just try to stay out of it and stay out of their way and wait for everything to collapse.
You got it.
Hey guys, Rafi here from the Endgame Investor. I've got John Lee on the line. He is CEO of Silver Elephant, and he is in Mongolia right now, not too far from me in Israel. So if you've never witnessed an interview between Mongolia and Israel, well, now is your opportunity. You can tell all your friends about it. They'll be very excited. So let's get going with John Lee. John, how are you doing?
Yeah, good. Well, it would be good afternoon for you, or early mo mid morning. Glad to be on your
It's three o'clock,
show.
three o'clock.
I'm a big fan of yours, and I watched a couple of your channels. So I'm glad we get to connect the first time.
Yeah, good. I like your shirt too.
I ran out of the shirts. It's a bit of Hawaiian
So
theme.
did I. Mine's in the laundry. All right. So you wanted to talk about just the craziness of the movie that is Planet Earth and everything that is going on and how it affects the silver market. Really, everything has gotten so insane. I don't really know what is part of the script and who are the actors and who are the directors and who are the extras and who just has no idea what's going on anymore. This all just seems like a big bad movie directed by some guy on crack or something, and I can't really make it out anymore. What do you think is going on? Where does silver fit in? And at the end, we'll get a little bit into your company, Silver Elephant. I know that's a very broad question, but really, everything is so crazy right now that I don't really know what else to say.
Yeah, Rafi, I traveled 47 countries and lived in th three different continents in North America, and in Asia, and also in South America. The world is really run not so much on by monopoly, but oligopoly. So you have a four or five different factions that's running the show behind the scenes. They do have a set of common agenda. But they're not sort of in agreement at all times on all the details. And secondly, they're vastly outnumbered. There are maybe a dozen or two dozen, if at all. So they really don't have the apparatus to be micromanaging. And but it certainly is a surprise with the WEF agenda of own nothing and be happy and deliberate attempt to really jack up the interest rate. I was a little bit surprised on how well the equity, the housing market, and just how the world is held up reasonably in general, sort of given a threefold rise in the interest rates. I do think that with almost the imminent return of President Trump back in action, the accelerated path of the 2030 agenda may be delayed somewhat. It's still inevitable. But that path is probably disrupted and delayed somewhat. And what that means is, in my view, would be a benign market for equities. and potentially lowering of the short-term interest rates, but that doesn't necessarily mean any revert of the yield curve back to normal, because the long term the yield curve is gonna trend back positive given so the inflationary run rate of the deficit spending, and oil is gonna trend down given Trump is pro-fracking, and I think all said and all. Depending on who is in charge, either the Democrats or Republicans, both have positive attributes towards gold. So, I think for the Democrats, it's more geopolitics, uncertainties. I think the Russia mega, and then for the Republicans would be more runaway inflation, lowering of the interest rates. The Ukraine situation will also get resolved. I think the Chinese situation with Taiwan will get de-escalated with the Republicans. So all in all, it's not so much
De-escalated?
one-dimensional. It's not so much one-dimensional. It's more check and balances on both ends.
Wait, so you think the situation between China and Taiwan is going to be de-escalated and worked out?
Oh, not necessarily worked out, but necessarily worked out. But it just seems like the Democrats are more keen to wreak more havoc across the world, right? And because their agenda is to is all the woke agenda, the equality issues, and the it just seemed like they're just out there to create more disturbance around the world. And I think if you just look at the records of the 4 years under the Republican administration versus Democrats, you could see how the geopolitics have played out. And so I think we're going to return to a bit of a calmness in the next 4 years under a different reign under the Republicans. And that might spell sort of, as I said, right, that might spell pressure for precious metals, given the calmness and tranquil nature. But then at the same time, Republicans are known to have a big deficit spendings and also bearish on interest rates. So that's positive for gold.
Yeah, so that's I was going to say that I really don't see much of a difference between besides just rhetoric and maybe a little bit of like administrative style between Democrats and Republicans. And Trump is just as big of a money printer as anyone else, and he's
Right.
just as big of an inflationist as anyone else. The only real practical difference I see between him and any other Democratic administration is that he's slightly less of a warmonger. Slightly less
Right.
of a warmonger. And that's good. I mean, that like I would vote for him if I did vote. I don't vote anymore. I've given up. Forget it. I don't care. But I would vote for him just on that because there's a slightly bigger chance of him calming down the situation with Russia, and maybe he can get Putin to not nuke the planet, which, would be a good thing. But in terms of monetary policy, there's no difference. It's not like and respond to this if you think I'm wrong, but it's not like any administration really controls monetary policy. It's
All
what
right.
it's that the economic situation that we have dug ourselves into because of our monetary policy is necessitating more and more and more money printing, no, regardless of the administration. It's not like any administration can stop it at this point.
Well, I think there's 2 points I want to bring up. If you pull up a 40, 50-year chart of the 10-year interest rates or the 30-year mortgage, you can clearly see the bear market for interest rate had ended around 2021 when 10 years at 1%. So the direction of the interest rate is heading up. The question is how fast the risk is going to go up. That is my view. And I think under the 4 years with the Republicans in charge, the trajectories would be not as steep on the hike of the interest rate. Now, in terms of money printing, I lived in Mongolia where I am right now, and I was living in South America. I also lived in Europe for 4 years when I went to school there. The money printing style is different between Republicans and between the socialists and capitalists. The capitalist is more free market, where they're really not so much have a problem with other people making money. But the socialists have a has a they have an issue with people that's outside of their circle making money. So I think the money printing does happen, but to the way they're the money gets distributed, the distribution of the printing is quite different in my view.
Yeah, so I guess you could put it this way in my jaded, cynical way of putting it, money printing is stealing. And so when Democrats steal money, They only like to give it to people who are very close to them ideologically. And
Exactly.
like let's say like an 80 to 90 level of insanity on a level on you know on a scale of 1 to 100. Whereas when Republicans steal money in print, they distribute it a little bit more evenly to people who are between 30 and 100 insanity. And while the rest of us just try to stay out of it and stay out of their way and wait for everything to collapse.
You got it. You got
Okay.
it. I think Republicans are less concerned about the protocols, whereas the socialists, right? They're very particular about their social protocols and have to be really fitting to that niche to join the club.
Well, really, everyone's a socialist now, just by different degrees. And what's really going to wake us all up is that when we run out of everybody else's money, then we're not going to be able to be socialists anymore. So we're either going to starve, you know, as in, you know, under Mao, with 45 million people in China who just died and starved to death, or we're going to have to go back to actually producing things. And we'll have to go back to producing things. And it's just a question of how many people are not going to make it.
And you know, in the end, you're right. In the end, it's all respect to this easy and fiat money. Without money printing, we won't have this divide on politics, on all the different issues, because there will be no sponsors, right? Because the sponsors are borrowing somebody else's money to advance their agenda. But if you have to take the money out of your own pocket to advance the cause, just for the sake of it, nobody is going to do that. So I really don't see an issue. It's between sort of socialist or capitalist or different between sort of different ways of doing business. I think the root of all costs and issues are is to do with the printing and the and even distribution of that.
I mean, I can't help but notice you're Chinese, right? At least ethnically.
I'm Chinese. I was born in Taiwan. Yes, I'm Taiwanese.
So, I mean, I've always wondered, I don't quite understand. I know you can't really say the average, like you can't say the average Jew or the average Chinese guy, but I'm trying to look for an idea, as much as I can get. Do the people in China, the average Chinese, do they understand what is going on monetarily at all? Do they understand where they fit into it? Do they understand the corruption of it? Are they even aware of the need to overthrow it? Or are they just like going to a, you know, a phone factory and just putting phones together and like trying to survive for the next day?
We are at a very early infancy of gold and silver renaissance, in my view. I happen to think the youngsters, the Gen Zs, and the millennials are liking gold more than my mother. And everybody's over 30 or even 25 already well brainwashed, and the gold is a barbaric relic and of no utilities, doesn't yield any interests. And never talked about and old-fashioned and other than Lunar New Year or weddings, you might sort of buy up a ingot or nugget to hand out. People don't even get married anymore, so the concept of giving gold rings are really sort of
You're saying
out of
in
fashion.
China, people aren't getting married, or in Taiwan, or both?
Or I think it's just marriage rates across the world are declining at a very fast rate, and but the You know what, though, given I was quite encouraged because if you watch a lot of the channels, the young people are the ones buying gold because they really don't have any preconceived notion of what a quote unquote legitimate investments are. So they have different channels of surfing social media. They're not fixated on the official sort of the official channel of what is right and wrong. And they buy everything under the sun. Like we have shareholders that buy two or three shares, right? So they're willing to try everything. They like the mobility of gold. They like the idea they can carry nuggets and they can travel with in their suitcase. They like the idea that it's quite safe. It's apolitical. It's not subject to interest rates or that the helm of somebody else's does. So I'm quite encouraged. I think over the next generation, it's going to be a reconnaissance and renaissance in gold as money because it is money. It's just being disguised and it's being suppressed, being managed
Yes, that's
for the
exactly my
sake of advanced
position. It still
agenda.
is money today. I mean,
Yeah, I don't think the Chinese or the Taiwanese are any more fond of gold than the Americans. I do think that what's driving gold, especially right now, are not the ordinary retails, but strictly the diversifications of central banks, actually more specifically you have the politicians that see the writing on the wall and they're pre-running the purchase central banks. So you have, say, even the Jeff Bezos and the Zara, the founder of Zara, the LVMH, the Koch brothers. The guys just don't want to get their hands in the politics if they know the imminent adaptation of the digital currency and the micro mandates to come of when you can buy and what you can buy and how far you can buy it, right? They don't need any part of that. So they're out there not to make capital gains, but to preserve their way of being. And that's why for the first time in 15 years, my family and myself started buying physicals again. It's not to do with calculating gains on paper on how much money has gone up. And that's
Yeah,
where you're
that doesn't
seeing this
matter.
relentless. You've seen this relentless rise in gold after it's past $2,000 in January. You're not seeing some of these wash like we saw before, Ralph. Like certain days before the holiday, gold would got whacked to $40 for a consecutive several days in a row. You don't see that anymore. So you clearly have some physical buyers that come in at different times of the day, undeterred of all the paper dumping in the market, and they are just making a run at gold. I don't think it's going to stop here, especially given just taking out 25th 2450, and it's going to go on its way to 2800 this year, in my view.
So, I mean, you are the CEO of a mining company, Silver Elephant. And before we talk about that specifically, I just wanted to get your take on why have the miners just underperformed so badly? And as gold and silver keep, edging higher and higher and higher, just okay. So you could say, for the past few months, gold miners have been doing okay and they've recovered some of their losses, but really, this is just bad. And it's been frustrating to me. I mean, I haven't given up on my thesis that I think miners are going to seriously outperform using the precedent of the post-Great Depression, in crash of 1929. In the 1920s, the stock market was going up and up and up, the equivalent today of, let's say, the NASDAQ or the bubble stocks. And then gold miners were doing pretty much nothing. And then the stock market crashed, but miners were still doing nothing. They didn't really go much. And then all of a sudden, 1932, 1933, once the bubble market deflated, then the gold and silver stock started to really climb and stayed higher. So, like, if you had mining stocks in the 1920s, let's say, and you didn't participate in the climb or the crash, and then they just started going up in the 1930s, you'd have been extremely rich during the Great Depression, which is, I think, it's going to be the same thing now. I just don't know when it's going to start.
I run a mining. I've been in the mining industry for almost 20 years. I started out in the dot-com industry in the Silicon Valley in the late 90s, where I made my money, and I promptly give it all back to mining. So, even being an insider, I haven't made money in the mining industry. I can write a book about it. I know more than what I need to know. I want to know it, and I ever sort of should know about the industry. There are three or four main reasons, and let me share them with you. And I mean, towards the end, just remind, I want us to talk about the underperformance of silver and some of the reasons for that. First, for talk about mining companies, they are not making money. Some of the mining companies are mismanaged, but right now, gold and silver prices just hasn't caught up to inflation. And so, if the company is not delivering profits and cash flow dividends, they're just not getting that share of interest from the general equity investors. Secondly, gold and silver markets are heavily managed. I am emphatic about it. I am convinced about it because the real money needs to be managed so the fiat money can continue its agenda. And that it's been carried out and well documented by James Turk, who's my mentor, Gatta, Bill Murphy. I was there since the reception with Chris Powell. They go through a combination of siphoning of the money through ETFs, of which they might have been double, triple counting on the gold in the vault, if there's any gold at all. They may be dumping the gold, taking the gold out of Fort Knox and the swap or swap of gold with Bundesbank and then dump it in the physical market. They also are shorting enormous amount of paper gold in the market and gold and paper silver in the market, of which they are very lenient in their rollover policies and overlooking some of the details in allowing this scheme to perpetuate. All the commercial banks is an extension of the power that be. They have absolutely unlimited power and margin to achieve their ultimate agenda, and they're not profit driven and money seeking. So, first of all, is they're just not delivering cash flow dividend. because gold and silver prices are not touched up inflation. And the reason they're not because the because not because of the fundamentals, but because they're just so heavily managed. And I think the third point is, Rafi, well, I think third point is that gold and silver mining companies, they are very volatile and risky and dangerous business. I really don't look at them as a enterprise company per se, like Coca-Cola or like Goodyear tires or like McDonald's or like Amazon, even for that matter, because gold and silver mining companies are asset depleting business. The first Majestic you buy today or Newmont you buy today is vast, is completely change over, make over in different from they were 15, 20 years ago, because the average mine life is only 10 to 15 years. So a majority of the asset reserves have been depleted. So then if you have a company that's not making money and then also have that but also have an asset that's depleting, not like it's not growing, right? Not like a farm, you're growing cow and more cow and more cow comes. So the end result of that is really you've got to be very choosy and picky in your entry point, because you've got to treat mining companies like call options. It's a derivative. The way I look at it, it's a derivative to the underlying gold price. Sometimes you have the Black-Scholes model, you have the volatilities like the VIX that are high, in which case gold mining companies trading at a premium to gold prices. But sometimes at the times like what we have right now, mining companies are trading at historic all-time low compared to the underlying gold and silver prices. So if you look at it from the VIX perspective, the VIX are extremely low because there's no volatility, there's lack of interest in the gold mining sector. And but you know what? The funny enough though, this is the time that you want to buy. You want to buy when the VIX is low. And then when volatility increases, then the mining companies will start to outperform gold and silver in the long term. I think the fourth reason I also want to share with you, and your audience can sort of watch this again, because these are really nuggets of information that I've sort of accumulated over the last 25 years observing the market, is mining company investors are different from gold and silver investors. Even though they are related, but they are not the same. Gold investors right now, like I mentioned to you, are the billionaire, the centi-billionaires. They are buying physical gold. They're not playing with the paper market. And then followed by central banks, the likes of Russia, China, and Japan and Saudi Arabia. The guys are at odds with the BRICS country, at odds with the United States. But the mining companies, if you look at silver company, the Silver Mining Universe, for example, I think the collective market cap valuation of all silver public listed silver company under the sun across all world stock exchanges is probably less than $20 billion. So that's a drop in the bucket. That's not even, you know, one hundredth of Nvidia. So you're looking at a very substantial investor that are speculative driven, mostly gold bugs out of Germany and the United States to some extent, not even Canada. I know our shareholders, right? Majority, almost 90, 80% concentrated in North America and parts of Europe. So if you look at the participants of the mining stocks versus the participants of the gold and silver, they're very different. So eventually, the spillover, the overlap will have to be the rise of the gold prices driven by one set of investor to the high enough level that the profit to deliver profit. And then you're going to have a different set of investors who are dividend seeking or speculative driven than getting the mining company. So there's not a whole lot of overlap right now between those two sets of investors. So overall, like I said, in conclusion, the price is not high enough. The prices are heavily managed, and the gold and silver are highly speculative with depleting reserves. And then eventually, the different investors of gold and silver mining companies and metals are different participants.
So you said you wanted to talk about silver. Before you go into that, I just wanted to just put by you my thesis here on miners in terms of
Yes.
my the end game dynamics of it. And I'm not 100% sure this is going to happen, but I can't see any other way out of it, right? So once what if you have a world where gold and silver prices really are catching up to inflation, we're already in a money supply, a dollar supply world. We're already at the hockey stick going vertical, and the next money printing round is going to have to be even more extreme because that's how they always happen. They get more and more extreme every time.
Yeah, and
So
have to be right, you know, rising interest rate, you have to pay more interest, have to pay more. There's no stopping of it.
the point what I'm trying to say here is that once we have a point where gold and silver prices in dollar terms are catching up to inflation, You could, we, I think very shortly after that, we will be in a world where the dollar doesn't really function anymore. And then what happens is gold and silver miners, people see their purchasing power in their bubble portfolios of NVIDIA and all this other stuff. They see it going down and down. They see gold and silver miners increasing. But you have something even more fundamental than that, that if the dollar isn't really working anymore, then what companies can really pay dividends? Because you pay dollar dividends if the dollar isn't worth anything, what's the point? But gold and silver miners, they produce gold and silver. They could actually pay in gold and silver certificates of their own product, and they could actually function in a world where the dollar doesn't function because they create money, literally.
I hear your point, Rafi. My view on the dollar is a little different from the from sort of some of the our pundits on our side of the aisle. The way
Okay.
I look at the dollar is the coupons that the king prints for the peasants. And so for the society to function as normal, for the farmers to yield crops, for the cattle grower to deliver the cows, for the people there to for the restaurants to the cook to produce the meals, you have to have some sort of world that resembles a bit of normalcy. So I think that to turn the dollar upside down will be such a havoc that it's not to the best interest of the power that be. So much to the contrary, I think there's a consolidation and subordination of all the other fiats to the dollar and the image the dollar needs to maintain to pre to resemble a bit of a norm to for at least you cannot just like everybody go like upside down, right? You have to just feed them enough, like the communists, like Xi Jinping. You have to feed them just enough. And then you feed them a little bit more so that they feel like they are grateful. But you cannot just turn the world upside down with the repudiation of the dollar. I want to briefly touch also on the mining shares a bit more. People, the discussion for the managing of gold and silver is well documented, like I talked about through the ETFs, through even the cryptos, through the shorting of the paper commercial markets. However, in the last 5 years, especially, what I have observed, looking at the trading of Silver Elephant and other mining companies, which I own, like Hecla, and in particular First Majestic, is I believe in a typical day, absent of, I say, earnings release or discovery of a drill hole, 80% of the volume of mining companies with the silver in it and are algo driven, including Silver Elephant. We are one of the largest top 50 OTC trading over the counter in the United States in 2021. And even today, I would say 80% of our volume are algo driven. Like, for example, if somebody were to place a 100,000 share bid, which is around $50,000, you'll see the dynamics of the death chart change in a split of a second. And this is not, and the reason for that is you cannot be holding down gold and silver and then have First Majestic, right, and or Silver Elephant run away. People's gonna be scratching their head as to what's happening and start asking questions. That's the last thing the cartel wants. So these kind of things, eventually the dam will break already, like gold did at 2000, never look back. I'm of the opinion you're not gonna see 2000 again. You might see silver briefly go down below 30 briefly, but then eventually it's going to catch up to around $50. Now, let me just spend about 60 seconds talk about my beloved subject, silver, of which I studied over 25 years under David Morgan, who is a very
Okay.
good friend of mine, at, right over everything under the sun, David Butler. And I will say I know probably silver better than anybody else on this planet is. Silver is underperforming because of China. China has gone through what the United States go through as a financial crisis in the last 18 months. And China had the equity market is back to 2021 pandemic levels in the Shanghai stock market. And it had a bit of a dead cat bounce in March and April, where the market bounced around 20%. And that's why you see silver went from 22 to around $30 in the last 4 weeks. However, Shanghai just had a relapse of that dead cat bounce. And that's why you're seeing silver just very lethargic, right? It's just like gold is that making that daily highs and silver just all of a sudden getting whacked, especially in Asia. You're not seeing follow-through in Asia. If there's a physical demand across the board, and if you people are talking about Shanghai market and then all the passions of silver bugs in Asia, you should see a follow-through in Asia. But in fact, what happened is you had the physical dumping of producers from China, with the gold, silver producing China dumped into the market. So that's why the exerting pressure in the market. For those folks that are following the silver market, I think we'll still eventually catch up to gold. But the Asian economies, especially in China, get a stage of rebound. And so sometimes you see silver trend closely gold, but right now silver is getting whacked alongside with copper. So it's got that dual personality, dual sort of, two-faced about it. Unfortunately, silver is 70% industrial. And that's why if copper is a down day or the Asian market is on a down day, then you're seeing that pressure on silver, which is what we're seeing right now in the last couple of days.
Right. I'm waiting for us to go into a world where silver is not 70% industrial because again, and I know we disagree on this, but that's okay. In a world where the dollar doesn't function, which is I see it as an inevitability, then the only thing to go back to for the public is silver. There's no other commodity to go to because silver is much more liquid than any other commodity in a world where the silver is the money, which is I think where we're going back to eventually. A lot of things could happen until then, but that's what I'm holding out for.
Rafi, you and I in the 1%, right? Even my mother just said, son, I'm almost 80 years old and my money's your money and let's do some estate planning. I just say, well, look, just buy gold in the got buy gold, put it in a bowl, and then put the key somewhere and then put it in the notes. And
Yeah.
then she's just like, she's 80, she's not a believer in gold. Unfortunately, like I said, because I lived in 47 countries and actually spend majority of my time outside of North America, even to this day. Is you'll be surprised to see how badly, right? How ill managed the other countries are. Well, I was in Turkey for holiday this time last year, and then that's just the time when Erdogan just got reelected. Literally, I arrived Turkey at a 22 Turkish lira to a dollar, and by the time I leave 10 days later, it was 25 lira for a dollar.
What is
And
that like 32, 33, something like that?
yes, and then if you look at the and if you look at sort of the new darlings of the. The new darling, policy figure of this guy out of Argentina, right?
Oh yeah, I like him.
He is, well, I mean, he's debasing the money. Like, how can you print? How can you debase your economies to success? So I think it's just different. It's a different. It's a different. It's the same people wearing different hats, right? Telling different sound bites, but it's the same. It's to debase the amount, that debase the currency. Rid of the middle class and further drive the divide between the two-tier system.
Oh,
And
you think that Javier Milei is part of the bad team?
you know what? I really don't hear the latter rhetorics, but I let actions speak louder than words. Since
Okay.
it's installed in Argentina, the currency is debased 50%, right? So like I'm not sure how that is good for economy. And I mean
Well, the way I see it is that he's just revealing the debasement that already happened. He's got to get rid of the peso entirely. And he wants to go back on the dollar, but I think that's also a trap. He's got to go back to gold and silver, which is economically impossible without starving, a lot of people, but there's nothing else to do.
Well, I'm glad I'm not a politician. So
Yeah.
just running a little silver mining company.
All right. So
Yeah,
do you want to talk about silver elephants for a little bit?
well, Rafi, I appreciate the opportunity. Silver Elephant is actually a producer. Our stocks slaughtered back from 2021 to where we are today. Not different from, say, First Majestic, right? We're about 30%. We're about double from what we were from the bottom start of the year, but we're still 70% from the top that we were 3 years ago. We are cash flow producing. We've got 100 million ounces in the silver. We're trading about $20 million market cap. So the company is trading at around 27 20 cents in silver, 20 cents an ounce of silver in the ground. And we've been in Bolivia for the last 20 years, and we do have a very good partner by the name of Andean Mining, who is the off-taker for our silver. And in the last 9 months, the company produced around 700,000 ounces of silver. The contract we have with the Andean is a fixed contract based on the tonnage we deliver. So the company is due to receive $2.5 million in the next 6 months, and then further $500,000 towards the end of the year. And the offtake contract only scaled for about 8% of our resource in the ground. So we have a vast still resource to be explored. I encourage our volume established all-time record in May, and I think the company is getting notice and recognition again. I think for some of your audience with high risk tolerance and can stomach the volatilities and sort of some discretionary money to spend, recommend to take a look at us and feel free to get in touch with us. I'm pretty active in Twitter. I'm a chartered financial analyst. Just search me out at John Lee Silver Elephant. I'm a very technical chartist and the married fundamental analysis of with what the charts are telling us. And for me, gold is going to go at least $400 higher this year. And then silver sometimes going to break out this $32 handle. And then from there, nobody really knows where, how high it's going to go.
Right, because once silver breaks through a certain level, we've seen it before. We saw it three times this century. And my thesis is we've saw it three times this century. We'll see it once more in the 21st century. It was 1919, 1968, and 1980 when the ratio went to 15 to 1. And that is the numeric definition of a monetary panic. We're gonna see it again. And when we do, the world's gonna change. It's not
And you know what? Let me
gonna
just,
settle down this time.
and you know what though? You like my favorite book, Reminiscent Stock Operator. There are a lot of people that can cash the bottom, but they don't make money, right? It's about sitting tight. Keep in mind that you have only 300 million ounces of speculative investment demand for silver. So that's around less than $10 billion. And when the train comes, when the guys have started doubling down, it's gonna run away. You don't know how the you only know the top in hindsight. You know, all every time silver take out $35, the top is established within a 2 week window. And so you really don't know how high it's gonna go. And nobody honestly nobody knows. And secondly, I want to talk about industrial demand, which is playing a headwind. But when the silver started to run up, they will become tailwind. And the reason for that is silver is used in critical industrial application, television, medical, photovoltaics, with the solar. So when you start seeing, and especially with this real-time supply chain, when you start seeing silver that run away and you have to supply a procurement manager, it's like, holy shit, I need 10 million, I need 3 million ounces, right? And 6 months from now, they will absolutely like Apple going after cobalt. When cobalt went in that craze from $5 to $30 a pound, they're going like, holy cow, I gotta go. They called Glencore. Glencore said, I'm sorry, I don't have anything. Brophy and Glencore may be short, right? They call JP Morgan, JP Morgan, and say, hey, get in line, buddy. You know, I got a short position of 500 million ounces. I could get a cover. I'm nothing offer for you. So you'll have a situation, not only are the speculators coming in, grabbing silver, but you'll have the industrial user becoming your friend. You know, the Apples, the solar panel producers, the GE Medicals, and the like all this, like they are gonna be going after silver mining companies, just like Elon Musk in the last 5 years going after nickel mining companies. It is the same playbook. And then one more thing I wanna, while I'm talking about nickel is you've got to buy physical gold or mining silver mining companies. You cannot put all your baskets on IAU ETFs, this gold passport offered by the banks or the Perth Mint and allocated storage, or even worse, a COMEX or LME paper market,
Right.
because it's happened already 3 years ago, 2.5 years ago with nickel. Nickel went from $8 a pound to 50. This is unfathomable, Rafi. I want to share with you. The LME, the London Metals Exchange, who's owned by the Hong Kong Stock Exchange, which then in turn is owned by the Chinese Communist Party. They
That
halted the
sounds
market.
wonderful.
They halted the nickel market for a week. Then they rolled back all the trades over $30 when the price was at $50. So they repudiated hundred, like hundred, I don't know how much, I think there was like a $30 billion loss right now to this day. And they just rolled back the trades. They settled all the trades on $30, which is an arbitrary number. And then they roll back that trade. And then they just put also the contingencies. They allow the shorts to roll over without settle. Basically, they rewrite the book, rewrite the rules. You as a silver investor, you don't want to be stuck in your silver COMEX position. Have kind of like Argentina, right? Like they would convert your US dollar bank holding on a Friday market close on a 1-on-1 to the peso. And then on Monday, they readjust the exchange rate to 3 pesos to a dollar, and then they convert your pesos back to the dollar, so you got 30% less. Like this will happen again, you know, when the things got really, really out of hand. So you gotta absolutely make sure you have the physical. That is the last line of defense, Rafi.
So that's the way I put it is people tell me that they're going to cheat. I say, yes, they're going to cheat. They're going to keep cheating.
Yes.
And they're going to keep cheating until people just repudiate all of the paper derivatives of silver and just say, oh, you're going to cheat? Fine, forget it. I'm not playing this game anymore. And they go into physical, and that'll be the end.
Yes. Well, not so much the end,
Well,
but
the
the.
it will be an end.
I mean, you're right. Like for I think again, like the nickel market is a good indicator, right? To this day, which is 2 years from since the episode took place, the volume on the nickel London Metals Exchange is around a fraction, about 5% of what they were. So what you'll see is the utility and the vehicle price speculation for paper markets start to wane, but then the physical market when it started to take over, and then the true fundamentals and the clearing price would then be reflected.
All right. Well, John, I really appreciate the conversation. Thanks for contacting me and coming on my little show here. If you're interested in Silver Elephant, check it out. The symbol is it's ELEF.
Yes.
Okay. There's also an OTC symbol. We'll put it on the screen here and check it out if you're interested. And John, I hope to have you on again at some point. And this was a very interesting conversation. Thank you.
You know, such a pleasant show. That's sustaining too. That's if gold takes out 2,800 and silver over 35 in the following months.
Okay. Thanks for coming. Okay, see you soon.